Imagine standing at a crossroads, feeling the weight of your past holding you back while yearning for a different future. This tension between who we've been and who we might become lies at the heart of Adlerian psychology. Unlike Freud, who believed we're prisoners of our past traumas, Alfred Adler proposed something revolutionary. Happiness isn't something that happens to us, it's something we choose with courage. The dialogue between a wise philosopher and a skeptical youth reveals this fundamental truth. We aren't determined by our histories. The past doesn't exist in any objective sense. It's constantly rewritten based on our current needs and goals. When we believe, "I can't change because of my childhood," we're actually selecting memories that justify our current worldview. A man who initially remembered only being bitten by a dog later recalled being helped by a stranger once his perspective shifted from "the world is dangerous" to "the world is safe." This isn't just philosophical wordplay. It's profoundly liberating. Your now decides your past, not the other way around. Yet most of us resist this freedom because true change requires a kind of death, giving up our current identity completely. Instead, we focus on two sides of a triangular column: that bad person, blaming others, and poor me, self-pity. But the third side, what should I do from now on, is the only question that leads to real transformation. Truly respecting someone means seeing them as they actually are, not looking up or down at them, but recognizing their individuality and supporting their growth unconditionally. This forms the foundation of meaningful relationships, especially in education. When teachers rule through fear, students merely submit without genuine engagement. Breaking this cycle requires someone taking the first courageous step toward unconditional respect. This demands empathy, walking alongside others rather than just sympathizing. With a teenager possessing depraved material, try understanding, what if I had the same heart and life as this person? Though we can't escape our subjectivity, we can imagine what appears in others' eyes through practice and genuine concern. One teacher found that simply accepting a troubled student transformed their relationship completely. Courage, like cowardice, is contagious. Someone must carry the torch of respect forward, even without initial understanding. Others will follow when someone is brave enough to see them as they truly are. When classroom chaos erupts, the Adlerian approach asks, what goal is this behavior serving? All problematic conduct follows five predictable stages of disconnection. It begins with the good child seeking admiration and becoming dependent on praise. When praise wanes, children move to attention drawing, preferring rebuke to invisibility. Next come power struggles, where children challenge authority, with adults unwittingly participating through angry responses. In the revenge stage, children who lost power struggles seek connection through deliberately upsetting others. Finally, proof of incompetence emerges as children avoid responsibilities to shield themselves from disappointment. This explains why traditional discipline often fails. Rebuking is essentially violence using anger as a tool for submission. Even calm rebuking feels threatening to students, yet adults resort to this low-cost communication, demanding compliance without consensus. Next time you face disruptive behavior, ask, what need is this person trying to meet? The answer might transform your approach entirely. From bathroom requests to career choices, we often seek permission rather than making autonomous decisions. True education empowers students to make their own choices instead of fostering dependency. When children ask permission, try responding, "That is something you can decide on your own." This teaches self-determination as lived reality. While children need context for informed decisions, self-reliance remains the goal. We typically praise, "Thanks to you, I succeeded," while viewing, "I did this myself," as ungrateful. Yet dependency hides ingratitude, while independence reveals healthy self-reliance. Educators should contribute without requiring acknowledgement. This approach challenges the belief that competition drives progress. In competitive environments, children see peers as rivals. A marathon runner initially asks, "Can I complete this?" but in competition shifts to, "Can I beat others?" transforming personal achievement into defeating others. Competition creates vertical relationships of winners and losers. Adlerian psychology instead promotes horizontal relationships based on cooperation and mutual respect, where everyone is fundamentally equal. Humans form communities because of our fundamental incompleteness. Unlike animals that quickly develop physical independence, humans experience extended helplessness, our minds developing faster than our bodies, shaping our understanding of dependence and connection. This vulnerability drove us to form complex social structures. Nothing terrifies the human psyche more than isolation, which threatens both physical survival and emotional security. Community feeling exists within us not as an acquired trait, but as an innate quality waiting to be uncovered. Adler noted, community feeling is always a reflection of the weakness of the body. Unlike species relying on physical prowess, human minds evolved for cooperation rather than competition. Our most fundamental need is belonging, the feeling that it's okay to be here, because isolation represents both social and biological death. However, seeking constant approval creates dangerous dependency, making us like clockwork dolls that do not move unless another person winds them up. This reveals a paradox. Accepting our ordinary nature enables extraordinary contributions. Imagine two relationships, a colleague who consistently delivers excellent work and a close friend who knows your deepest secrets. Though both seem strong, they operate on fundamentally different principles: trust versus confidence. Trust functions conditionally, like a bank requiring collateral. It's a calculated assessment based on evidence. Confidence represents an unconditional belief in someone's worth beyond performance. Work relationships primarily operate on trust, built on competence and reliability, while friendships flourish through confidence, formed through genuine appreciation of character. This distinction explains why humans must collaborate. Survival requires coordinated effort and specialized skills. Human cooperation isn't merely practical, it's biologically fundamental. Championship teams exemplify Adam Smith's principle: specialists working together maximize outcomes for all. A person's true worth stems from integrity and authenticity, not job title. Beware of mediocre justice, judging occupations as inherently good or bad, which risks creating a homogenized society where freedom is sacrificed for artificial equality. Adlerian psychology rejects the myth of destined soulmates as harmful. People claiming they never meet potential partners often encounter many possibilities but lack courage to pursue these connections. The fantasy of a perfect partner serves as a defense mechanism, allowing individuals to avoid intimacy through impossibly high standards. Marriage isn't about finding an ideal match, it's about consciously choosing a shared life path. Adlerians believe we are able to love anyone through conscious decision. Love's essence lies in active choice and commitment, manifesting as daily decisions to understand, forgive, support, and grow together. It's not simply an intense emotion. It is a decision, it is a judgment, it is a promise. Long-term couples develop what feels like destiny through years of shared experiences. This sense of meant to be is something they've actively created through consistent choice. Destiny is something you create with your own two hands.